Invalid that's grossly misunderstood and misinterpreted, and some neo-creationists claim that all the Earth strata was due to the flood of Noah, or the original process of creation. They claim that all creation took place during a six-day period, approximately 6,000 years ago, and they put up some good arguments. If you don't do your own investigation behind the scenes, the Bible is truly a reliable historical witness. But however, the Bible nowhere says that the creation occurred 6,000 years ago, nor does it teach that the earth is flat, although medieval theologians often assumed that the earth was flat and threatened and killed people who would teach otherwise with their torture techniques. The Middle Ages was a sad time in theological history. We know that. And today, there's not much difference when people are in a box or in a can of thought. They can't break out because the earth runs as does a herd of buffalo off the bluff. And so they run off the bluff with their understanding, and the enlightened church of that day, as it is today, pressure scientists such as Bruno and Galileo with the threat of bodily harm. They had to retract under threat of death, and if they said that the earth revolved around the sun, that was a no-no. And biologist George Simpson, who stated on this view of life on page 214, as a matter of fact, most of the dogmatic religions have exhibited a perverse talent for taking the wrong side on most of the important concepts. Now, let me give you some backup scripture for that. We're talking about that which is highly esteemed, that which is basically believed by most Christians, is basically despised by Yahweh, because there's not enough thought process. It's just a herd mentality. They have grown up believing some of these irrational views, and they stick with it. Now, notice that the Catholic theologians, who was the mainstay of the medieval times, they made a great mistake in the Middle Ages. Now, Catholic theologians of the Middle Ages assumed that the Scriptures taught things about the material universe, which in fact were false interpretations or assumptions. Perhaps for the masses, it was enough to listen to and believe the dogma with the stamped sanction of church authority. But for thinking man, the Renaissance man, and for scientists who wished us to prove all things, as the Scriptures themselves tell us to do, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, a mere resuscitation of a church authority or tradition is not enough to prove the things that we want to understand, especially about pre-Adamites. We have taken it to believe that Adam was the father of all the races. Now, let's look at some of the problems that exist with Adam being the father of all the races. Number one, it's impossible for blood to cross the great divide that it has come up with all the different races. Some people take the irrational theology of, man went down to Africa and he turned black. A man went up to the North Pole and he turned white. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. People that are born there are born following their blood type, kind after kind. Only man has made the mistake of thinking that we all came from Adam. Ladies and gentlemen, it's deeper. We've got to understand that this is not true. And I would like for you to put your thinking cap on. That Catholic theologians have made mistakes as they pointed man in a mistaken way, and with the stamped sanction of the church authority, they have never let up on some of the things that they've held to down through the years. And so the precious view of Earth's centrality and a fixed and changing universe was crystallized by Ptolemy in the 2nd century A.D. and then taken over by the Christian, that is the Catholic Church, and what had been ancient pagan punishments for contradicting pagan theology became the orthodox Christian punishments for questioning the orthodox Christ, man's continued secret probing, 14 centuries, brought no serious challenger. And for that reason, we have die-casted ourselves into a certain way to believe, and nothing that men can say when it takes a certain amount of faith with the paleontology and the systems that have been scientifically erected and invented to prove the age of the Earth is far more older than what man's 6,000 years would give it. In 1543, Copernicus published his theory of a heliocentric solar system. And although he was a Catholic priest, his theory met with strong opposition from the established church. In 1600, Bruno, who endorsed the theory, was burned alive at the stake in Rome for his stubborn heretical beliefs, among which was the heliocentric solar system in its truth. Galileo observed in 1604 that Copernicus had been right. Through the telescope, he observed that the Earth and other planets do revolve around the sun. But the clerics of that day disagreed. Martin Luther, for one, lambasted the heliocentric or sun-centered solar system. He reasoned that since Joshua had commanded the sun to stand still, it must have been the sun which was moving around the earth. One archbishop of the Catholic Church lampooned the followers of Galileo with a scriptural pun: "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in the heavens?" He asked, quoting Acts 1:11 in the New Testament, as he actually denounced the observation of a heliocentric sun-centered solar system. Today we know for true that that was the case. And during the persecution, no one questioned the authority of the church, simply because they were afraid of being burned at the stake. So, how can we today overcome the herd mentality that the church has branded and put in a box And most people today still believe that the earth is less than 7,000 years old. Now, when the authority of the early church reigned supreme, the science of geology was attacked as a dark art. And it was calculated to tear up the public mind, ever remaining attachment to Christianity. When it was questioned, scientists that accumulated data to show that the earth is far older than the date of 404 B.C., they were vigorously assailed as infidels, atheists, and heretics. Archbishop Usher had concluded from his studies of the Bible that creation had to have been sometime in October, around the 23rd of 404 B.C., and when fossil evidence was unearthed to indicate that the earth was far older than that, the fossils were merely dismissed by the church leaders as deliberate deceptions of the devil. And so then, how are you going to change the mind of those that have been herded into the box? Even today, that herd mentality still exists as the church frowns on anything other than the earth being 6,000 years old. However, today there is more scientific evidence and more people are questioning the and challenging, if you will, the concepts that people have brought from the Bible or from the teaching of the church. More and more people are removing the blinders from their eyes. Now, it is important when people insist upon wearing the blinders, they won't read, they won't study, they won't learn, they won't compare, they won't challenge, and they will not prove all things. Holding to things which they cannot prove one way or another. And these people insist upon dogmas, and the attitudes that they have is like the nervous captain of a ship lowering the anchor down to 20 feet and then assuming that it must have reached bottom because that's all the line is left on the anchor. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a long way from the bottom of the well of understanding. When people wear the blinders, it is hard for preachers or teachers or those who would educate or let down the anchor rope a little lower for the understanding. Now, let me give you an instance of how people are so reluctant to change. In 1832, citizens of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, refused to allow their schoolhouse to be used for a discussion about railroads. Now, this is 1832 before Roe. Testing had already become the norm, and they knew that these railroads could be built and they can be a tremendous help. But people were so opposed to railroads that they actually said railroads are impossible and a great infidelity. Now, if Yahweh had intended that His intelligent creatures should travel at the frightful speed of 17 miles an hour by steam, they said He would have foretold it and revealed it to the Holy Prophet. Such things as railroads are devices, they said, of Satan to lead immortal souls down to hell. 1832. That's how people think. Now, religious people today still ascribe that the entire geological record of Noah's flood
is the norm rather than some of the accepted scientific exceptions that theologians used to turn to the flood to explain the effects of erosion, mountain building, volcano activity, fossil remains, and in the infancy of geological science. Such a tendency could be well understood and even pardoned. But today, after tons of geological evidence, it seems strange that some religious people still cling to the outdated notions that the evidence of 150 years of geological investigation have brought up. We should not condemn, because on the other side of the fence we have the neo-Darwinian evolutionists and the school of anti-catastrophic events that happened, and these muddle-headed geologists and paleontologists who have been brainwashed to the exact opposite conclusion, that they stand on uninformationary geology and will not admit to any earth-shaking global and catastrophic events in the past. They discount all human testimony, all traditions, all legends from around the world. They ignore or attempt to explain all evidence of a geological nature which supports a recent earth formation and turn a blinded eye to the ancient information that has been gathered to prove that the earth has existed for millions of years. And those who refuse to admit this evidence are still sitting in the pews, refusing to accept the evidence that the earth existed many, many millions of years ago. Now, if it did, and Adam is just a recent introduction, which I believe he is, he's a family man. Question. Where, if Adam was the only living being, and his wife, and his oldest son, Cain, and his son, Abel, why was Cain alarmed at going out into the world, fearing that people kill him if he only existed by himself with his father, mother, and brother? Ladies and gentlemen, there's something wrong with those who believe that man is only 6,000 years old. The evidence is indisputable that many independent dating techniques demonstrate that various hominid creatures lived as far back as 500,000 years ago. And we have more primitive types of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the six-day man, that lived as long ago as 1 to 2 million years back. These creatures, in some cases, were familiar with fire. They used crude chipstone tools, such as hand axes, notched and sawtooth implements, scrapers and engravers. They were the pre-Adamic creatures living in a pre-Adamic world with Adam introduced to subdue the earth and to conquer it and to improve it. This is a world which eventually ended in a great catastrophe. And before their time, other worlds seem to have existed also. The world of the dinosaurs ended about 70 million years ago. That world, too, ended in cosmic catastrophe. The pre-Adamic world was a world of growth, change, slow progress, and it was a world where new life forms were introduced from time to time, and the fact that evolution is nothing more than growth, change, and progress in some cases, but we still believe that there was the Great Bang theory that the Earth exploded into being in the cosmos in 1 trillionth of a second. And so then, there is what we describe, what I believe, is an intelligent beginning of the Earth with growth and change and progress in the pre-Adamic world until Adam comes on the scene 6,000 years ago approximately and updates for the purpose of raising the level to a new level, which is exactly what Yahweh told him to do. Be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we know, according to Bible chronology, that only a few thousand years has passed since the creation of the ancestors of our modern plants and animals. But notice, if one accepts the assumption that the inorganic radioisotope clocks were reset, wherever they became associated with fossil-bearing material, they apparently at least 600 million years have passed since plants and animals were first successfully appeared from that time over a duration of some 600 million years. And that's recorded in Frank Lewis Marsh in his book entitled Life of Man and Time. Now, is it beyond our thinking as Christians to believe that Adam is a later introduction and that pre-Adamites lived from Genesis 1:26, that Adam came into being in Genesis, where it is stated that he was an eighth-day man, long after Yahweh rested from his labor of Genesis 1:26, he brought Adam into being for the associated purpose of bringing about a scientific knowledge to Adam and his family. They were special people, and the Bible indicates that they were. The truth is, there is really no contradiction between the biblical record and the scientific knowledge of the earth's past. Those who wish to uphold the Bible in the face of all the evidence regarding those of early hominid, Homo erectus, or Homo habilis, or other discoveries of primitive man-like creatures, you should never worry. There is no evidence that such creatures evolved into modern man. Rather, they lived long ago in a world before Adam. Another world, another age, and another time. Such discoveries now tell us much about the ancient history of the earth. They tell us nothing, one way or the other, about the scriptures. which sometimes are misconstrued, misused, misunderstood about the biblical record and the scientific knowledge of Earth's past that cannot be denied in the chase or the hunt before man's true beginning. I do believe that Adam was a special creation. I do believe that the six-day man was a creature, along with the beast of the field, and other creatures, man-like creatures, fill the earth. Cain was vastly afraid to go out into that world, to venture out there, because of what he had done, because of his guilt conscience. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we know that eventually Cain went east to the land of Nod, and he married into a Oriental family and produced Oriental people. We know that. And so then, the Khazaric bloodline, which is now upon the earth, if you will, in a fashion that has great consequences to Adam man, or the sons of Seth, that there is a continuous warfare between these who are Oriental and those who would fight against Adam and his offspring. We have a continuous war before the subduing of the earth. The sons of light in favor of the truth, and the sons of darkness opposed to it. Now, let's go back to the pages of Genesis as it relates to the original creation of the universe. Now, you read the simple matter-of-fact statement, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, Genesis 1 and 1. The Amplified Bible renders this verse as this: in the beginning, God prepared, formed, and fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The Good News Bible states that in the beginning, when God created the universe, the Moffat translation, when God began to form the universe, the Goodspeed translation, when God began to create the heavens and the earth. What exactly does the book of Genesis tell us? That Yahweh created the universe, the heavens and the earth, in a period of time called simply in the beginning. How long ago that creation occurred in the past, we're not told. It simply says in the beginning. And now we have those who can carbon date and relate and prove that the earth is much older than the biblical reasoning of Adam, tracing Adam from his generations to the next generation, to where we'll have approximately, to this day, 6,000 years. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. If you look at this verse, it's describing the original creation as beginning something out of a formless and void beginning. If so, it would be a contradiction. Verse 1 tells us that Yahweh created the heavens and the earth, and when Yahweh creates something, it is beautiful, grand, majestic, and full of life. But as I read you last night in the 38th chapter of the book of Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth. Declare unto me, if you have understanding, who hath laid the measures thereof? Do you know? Or who stretched the line whereupon the foundations thereof are fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? In the original earth, if it had been created in a chaotic ruin or a formless and void beginning, the angels would have not sang together or have shouted for joy. There was a chaotic point where the earth became void and it became formless, and the morning stars fell in great multitudes because of their rebellion that was brought about by these angels or these sons of Yah who shouted for joy. They quit shouting at a point after the creation, which it was good, and there was light, and there was joy, and there was singing, and there was rejoicing, and then, after a period of time, a catastrophic happening. The earth became without form, void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. Where is it, ladies and gentlemen, other than, as I read you again last night in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18, where we added this passage. Isaiah, prophet, and declaring, "For thus saith Yahweh that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am Yahweh, and there is none else." The Hebrew word translated vain is tohu, and means to lie in waste, a desolation, a desert. It can also be translated confusion. Wherever evil work is, there is confusion. An empty place, without form, nothingness, wilderness. It's the very same word used in Genesis 1, verse 2, where the earth became void and fallen in a darkened state. Now, anybody that wants to take issue with Yahweh, there's no darkness in Him. He couldn't have created darkness. There was none in Him to create. When He created, the sons of Yahweh shouted for joy. They were happy. But there was a rebellion. When this happened, it became dark, fallen, desolate, a wilderness, an empty place, confusion, a waste, a desolation. So then, when Yahweh originally created the earth, it was indeed a lovely place. He created with no waste, no wilderness, no desolation. It was inhabited, according to the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 18. And the angels leaped for joy and shouted with admiration and enthusiasm when they beheld the young earth in its beginning, and then something happened. It became tohu, which is waste, ruin, desolation, and the original earth suffered a great cataclysm, a cosmic catastrophe. The Hebrew word translated without form and void literally means a desolation, a wilderness. It became empty, uninhabited, in ruin. And so then, these strong words denote a catastrophe, and they strongly suggest that some sort of primeval cataclysm of such occurred, and we have destruction and chaos and darkness. The scripture does not give any data for determining how long the universe was created. And in the first chapter of Genesis, it only records three creative acts. Number one, the heavens and the earth, in verse 1. In verse 2, new animal life. And in verse 20 and 21, human life. And in verse 26 and 27, we have the first creative act referred to the dateless past, the creation of new forms of animal life. And finally, after the rest and the wait, one day being 1,000 years, let's say, or 1,000,000 years, or whatever, the time, after this great ruin, desolation, we have, again, someone sent to this earth to take the challenge of subduing the earth. What does that mean? Setting something in order. Setting things that had become fallen, that had become destructive, chaos, confusion, the lovely place that he had created became a wasteland. All because, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that there was a disastrous fall and a war. I told you last night that the planet Mars shows effects of being inhabited. The Earth in its fallen state was probably damaged in the ensuing war between the mighty ones who battled in the heavens. They went from planet to planet. Finally, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelations that Michael, the war angel, and his angels subdued, put down the chaos, put down the destruction, put down the confusion, put down the rebellion. And then the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Yahweh moved upon the face of the waters. What do we see? We see an earth that's destroyed in pitch darkness, covered by water, the continents submerged, and great confusion and destruction in a land that is practically uninhabitable. How many died in that pre-Adam time? We never know. But let me give you a thought to think on. Do you know what happened after the flood? When those people again started doing the things that they had done in the first earth that was destroyed. They began to rebel. They began to get evil. They began to do the things that Yahweh was not pleased with. And again, Yahweh was forced to bring in chaos, destruction, darkness, and the things that would require reconstruction or a recreation. We know that Yahweh first used light from the sun to penetrate the atmosphere and in a diffused manner, allowing day and night to again become discernible. He created order in the atmosphere. He caused the dry land to appear. And so once again, He caused the earth to bring forth life, plants, because in Genesis 40 or in Isaiah 45, He determined that it would be inhabited. So this higher thinking man that He made after the seventh day, keep in mind that Adam only appeared after 6 days and the rest day of the seventh, and then He appeared in the eighth day. Think about that. If you're going to go day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and day seven, there is no Adam. There is creatures, the beast of the field, that did exist in this world where Yahweh had made to bring the original creation of the heavens and the earth as it occurred in seven consecutive days. But then we have a period of chaos. Satan, by rebelling, wanting to rule the earth. The earth became a victim of great destruction. There was war in the heavens. And we have the visible results of planets that lay close to the earth. And this is what the war was over, the earth. Satan battled for, he wanted to become, or he wanted to be, the god of this earth. And by falling and taking advantage of that which Yahweh had created, he became a destructive force, and still is, by the way. His mission is, again, to kill, to steal, and to destroy, and to bring darkness, to hide truth. Adam was created from the earth, not from some spiritual force. This Adam was already a spiritual force, and then he inhabited a body that could live here in the atmosphere and in the chaotic conditions that was here existing to bring about the reconstruction of the earth and to subdue it. Subdue means to conquer. Conquer who? To conquer the chaos and the destruction. To conquer the wars and the killing and the maiming and those things which were being allowed to happen, bringing in, if you will, confusion and every evil work. For where there is confusion, there is every evil work. And Satan brought it. He messed up the time sequence. He changed that to bring man out of the synchronicity of the cycles of electric beings. I'd like to talk about that some more Monday, if Yahweh permits. Yahweh wants you, as an electric being, to have certain phases of your electric charging. You're just like a little mini computer, if you will, or a little nuclear reactor. And through the sun, the moon, and the stars, which are shaped in such a way to bring in positive energy to raise Adam above the things that were put here that Satan used and abused and brought darkness and death and devastation upon this earth. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, think outside the box. The world before Adam came to an abrupt screeching end as it was cut short by flooding, upheaval, stroke upon stroke of catastrophes. This one short but much misunderstood verse of the Bible, which contains within its cryptic message a story that will amaze you if you will only open your eyes to behold, in essence, this covers a span of millions of years. And Yahweh, patiently waiting for the righteous fruit which came from His own family. Adam was a son of Yahweh, no question. Before Adam was ever born, or created, or formed out of the dust of the earth, He was a mighty one. He was a cut above everything that had ever been introduced in the earth. He still is. However, with the cunning craftiness of the evil powers and the negative influence, Adam began to close his spiritual eyes because of the darkness, because of the temptations and the sins. Adam began to sin and separate himself from the light, which is Yahweh. To return to Yahweh is the whole duty and purpose that finally Yahweh Himself sacrificed a body of flesh and came and offered Himself for His son Adam to recover all of the blood of righteous Adam, beginning with his son Abel. And Abel and Adam were brothers, and that will take a little bit of understanding on your part. Cain was a renegade. He was a child of the darkness. Abel was a son of light. And for that, we have the fight continuing tonight. And so then, in the millions of years since the vast creation and the vast periods of time, many successive ecological niches, failures, and successes had to exist upon the earth. And in this learning process, Adam continued to grow and to die and to be entombed and to raise again and to die and to be entombed and to raise again and to recreate, if you will, through his offspring after many thousands of years. Adam will finally get it right. Till we all come in unity. Till we all learn what happened in the beginning, we will never grow to overcome the inadequate situation that we've been placed under. To overcome fear, to overcome doubt, to overcome darkness, we must return to the source of our beginning. Call to remembrance the days before Adam. Think about it and think upon it. They represent a different time in the past which a unique assemblage of life forms was living and being deposited in many parts of the world. We were introduced at a later date to bring about a subduction of this earth and to overcome the Dark One who has fallen, has now become our enemy, and must be defeated. We cannot escape. The inevitable is here. We must, we shall, and we will defeat Satan, and we will overcome the fallen ones or the Dark Ones. We shall rule, for that is the purpose that we came. We are now in this environment, and we must prepare ourselves, because we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge and for the succession and the success of our offspring of Adam. We must prepare to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life, and to overcome the world that people believe is only 6,000 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, once we understand what happened with the fall, once we understand that the sons of God who once shouted for joy are now saddened by the deceitful tricks of Satan, who has hidden through the lack of knowledge the history of our earth and the purpose that it was given to us to be inhabited and to praise Yahweh and to subdue it and to bring it under the central command of Yahweh and His Eternal Ones. The question is, are we ready to accept an earth older than 6,000 years old? Hope you are tonight. I've enjoyed being with you in part 5. Monday night, Yahweh willing, we're going to talk about the energies of the electrical impulses, where we hook up to a spirit that is still energizing the souls of them that would seek to be energized, how we connect, how we can be, if you will, energized with that Holy Spirit to give us the faith to fight the good fight of faith. We're destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and for certain we'll be saved by realizing and coming to the realization that we're more than conquerors. Satan has brought you down to his level, that you're defeated, that everything is dark, there is no hope, all despair. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil's a liar and the father of it. And if you join Satan in your mind to believe that we're defeated and there's no hope, then you are of all men most miserable. Let's break out the celebration as the sons of Yah did before the world fell into darkness and chaotic and confusion. Let's call to remembrance the times when we shouted for joy. And by thinking about those things in a positive state, we can energize our electric bodies and overcome Satan and his dark days that he has brought upon this earth. Let us all go forward and overcome. Got a brand new telephone number tonight, and it's working, ladies and gentlemen. Our phones have sort of been on the lam. Some of you tried to call and can't get through tonight. If you'll take it easy on calling, we could take your call. We only have one phone here right now. We got to wait 30 days that we can bring in more phones, but we'll get them. Just give us time. We're working on these problems. Satan is trying to affect, to engage us from the communication field. but we're holding on. Call me at this phone number tonight. It's live. I'm sponsored by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey, two of the great Mighty Ones. Headship Company, ladies and gentlemen. Mighty Ones. Right out of the great state of Mississippi tonight. Yahweh bless them for their extensive endeavor to bring this message to you tonight. I love you. Call me. Area code 423-351-1082. Now that's 423-351-1082. 423-351-1082. Of course, you can call me also on my cell phone, which is 423-259-0606. I'll see you around the world. Come Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We love you. We appreciate you. I'll be trying to get the mail starting next week. I'm going to back onto the mail route. You'll be receiving a package from us sometime, hopefully next week or the next couple of weeks. We'll get back in the routine of mailing out our latest CDs for you to listen and to stop and to study and to take notes if you'd like to. And if you'd like to be on our mailing list, call Pastor Buddy or write me at Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. That's Pastor Buddy at 568 in Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. I'll see you. May Yahweh take a good blessing and a liking to you. We'll see you Monday night. Keep us in prayer. We're praying for you. Yahweh bless and I love you.